All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. And I want to read just one verse. I'm not going to read the whole story here because I'm really only going to speak from one verse. And that is the 18th verse. So Genesis 26 and verse 18. And the Bible here says, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." All right, now if you look down at verse 20 and verse 21 and verse 22, you will see that he called the names by which he called these wells. And they were the same names that were given to the wells by Abraham, his father. But I want to use this 18th verse now, and I want to just show you a couple of things I trust will bless your heart tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the music tonight. Thank you for the blessings that we've already enjoyed. And now I pray you'll bless as we open the Word of God and proclaim its truths tonight. And I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to open the Bible. Thank you that we live in America where we can still do that without fear. We don't fear that somebody's going to come bursting through the door and make us stop. We have the freedom right now to worship as we see fit. And so I thank you for that. And ask you to bless us tonight. May we realize the privilege we have, and then may we give our utmost attention to the things of the Lord. And Father, would you speak to our hearts tonight and draw us to yourself, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. There is not nearly as much written about Isaac as in the Bible as there is written about his father, Abraham, or his son, Jacob. There's a lot more about Abraham and Jacob than there is about Isaac. It seems that Isaac was a quiet, sort of reserved, kind of a shy individual. But one of the stories about him is found right here in this text. And in this text, it says that he went and digged the wells that his father Abraham had dug many, many years before, which after Abraham's death had been filled in by the Philistines. And so Abraham, Isaac, and Isaac's twin boys, Jacob and Esau, were all shepherds. And so they needed wells. They had to have wells in order to sustain their flocks. And so if a man was a shepherd, he had to have water for his flocks. And down in that region where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob lived, there was not an abundance of water. And so you would have to dig these wells and rely upon them to sustain your flocks. There was, in the land of Israel, basically, there is one river, and that's the Jordan River. It runs from north to south. It goes from the base of Mount Hermon in the north, and it runs down through the center of Israel, down into the Sea of Galilee, and then from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea. And that really is about it when it comes to a source of water. Now, there were a few little creeks And there were a few little places in between the mountains where the water would flow during the rainy season. But the land of Israel, for the most part, is a dry and barren place. And so with there not being an abundance of water sources, people had to dig wells to provide water for themselves and or for their animals. This verse, verse 18, sums up the details of Isaac's well digging. And I want you to notice three things about that this verse tells us about the wells that Isaac dug, and the lessons that go along with those three things. First of all, we see in this verse, first of all, the digging of the wells. Look at your verse very carefully. And it says, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water." Now, these were the wells that Abraham had dug many years before. Now, what do we know about this? Well, digging wells was terribly hard, difficult work. Let me remind you that back in Old Testament times, they did not have a backhoe. All right? You could not just go hop on the backhoe and dig a well. If you dug a well, you did it the old-fashioned way. You did it by hand. And it was not an easy thing to do. Now, on our many trips to Israel, we have somewhere along the way, we have stopped and we have observed the wells that are still over there that you can still see today. How old they are, we don't know. Well, we know the one at Megiddo is real old. Back Old Testament times when Ahab was on the throne, and Ahab was the one that built up the city of Megiddo. But the thing that just amazed me about these wells is how perfectly round they are. They're just perfectly round. It's amazing. And how deep they can go. They're very deep. And I'm right now seeing the one in my mind's eye that is on the ancient ruins of the Old Testament city of Megiddo. And it's just perfectly round. And they built them with a winding staircase. It goes down and then it comes right back up. So you go down one way, get your water, and then come right out the other way. And they built them with these winding staircases of stone. And it's just wide enough for somebody to step on and to get down into the well and then come right back out again, basically the same way the same area that you went in. You just make a circle down into the well. But the hard work paid off when the life-giving water came rushing into the well. Now, there's a truth that we can glean from this, and that truth is that good things do not come to us without effort. You know, folks, you're not going to be a good Christian just because you say, I want to be a good Christian. No, it takes some effort. It takes some work. And I don't know how many times people have said to me, I wish I knew as much Bible as you know. Well, if you would study the Bible for 43 years and get a 5-year undergraduate degree and a 4-year master's degree and a 4-year doctorate, you probably would know the Bible as well as I do. But you see, you got to work at it. I did not lay my Bible under my pillow and sleep on my Bible hoping that the information in the Bible would, through osmosis, get into my head. No, it's hours and hours and hours and hours of study and reading and sermon preparation. But the hard work pays off when we put forth the effort. And these wells were deep, folks. It would have required a great deal of perspiration, a great deal of effort to dig these wells. And so we need to realize that the best way to fit ourselves for great things is to bend our back and our will to humble toil. I mean, just get down in the trenches and with God and learn the Word of God, learn the Bible. God has a habit of giving His blessings to those folks who are not afraid to work. There's a lot of folks who just love the commandment that tells us to rest on the Sabbath and to keep it holy. But they seem to forget and they don't realize that there is a specific commandment that came with the condition, and that commandment is this: 6 days shalt thou labor. All right, we're all focused on the one day of rest, but there is a caveat. God says, 6 days shalt thou labor. So, folks, we need to dig again some of the wells that have been filled in. Do you remember when you first got saved and you used to work hard at reading your Bible? You just couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Remember when you first got saved and it was exciting? You couldn't wait to get to church. Well, what happened? Well, some Philistines came along and filled you well in. That's what happened. Somewhere along the way, the Philistines showed up when you weren't looking, and they filled your well with a bunch of trash. Remember when you used to come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you just looked forward to it, and you carried your Bible and you were excited and maybe even brought a little notebook to take notes in? Do you remember that? I mean, you worked at it back years ago when you first got saved, but something happened. What happened? Well, some Philistines came along and filled in your well. Those old rotten Philistines somewhere along the way have filled in those wells that you dug years ago. So, Christian, understand this. Digging wells is hard work, and you got to keep working at it. Just because you've learned how to be a Christian now and you've learned how to act like a Christian and how to talk like a Christian and how to smell like a Christian and all the rest of it, listen, you still got to work at it. You got to put forth some effort in order to live for the Lord, or some Philistine's going to come up behind you and he's going to fill your well. But you see, Isaac had to have water for his flocks to survive. If there was no water, his livelihood would be gone. And we need the water flowing in our lives as well. Folks, it's time to get the clutter out. It's time to get the trash out. It's time to get the junk out of our wells. All that mess that was thrown in there by the Philistines, that was thrown in there to keep us from the life-giving water. Yes, it takes work, and you got to put forth a little effort to come to church. But what happened to your well? That's what you ought to be asking yourself. I mean, after it was a long time ago, but one of my preacher friends, he pastored a church around the road. It was his church was a split off of my church back in the 50s. But we were good friends, and we finally brought the two churches together. They hated each other, but we finally brought the two churches together. Now, they were kicking and screaming, but we did it. But he came to see me one night, and bless his heart, he was so discouraged. And when he came in the door, he's all scruffy, where he hadn't shaved in a week. He's all scruffy, and his hair was all a mess. I don't think he combed his hair all week. And he called and said, "Can you meet me at your office?" And I said, "Sure." So I went over to the office. It was just right next door. We lived in a parsonage. So I went over to the office, and here he come. And he came in the door and sat down. And I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Oh, Norris, I'm having a terrible time." I said, "What's wrong?" "Well," he said, I'm, you know, and he started explaining all his problems. And so it was about 11 o'clock when he finished complaining. And he looked over and he said, and I had a notebook laying there, a notebook full of sermons on the desk. And he said, "What are those?" And I said, "They're sermons." It was full, stuffed full of sermons. And I said, "Those are sermons." He said, "I thought so." He said, "Can I borrow that notebook?" He said, "I don't have a thing prepared for tomorrow. Not a thing." I said, "Lee, are you kidding me?" He said, "Not a thing, brother. Do you hear me? It's 11 o'clock. I don't have a thing." I said, "All right." So I handed him the notebook. Well, about 2 weeks later, he moved. And I never got my notebook back. It had some great sermons in it. I remember some of the sermons. And there was one in there that was entitled, "Used to Be." I preached a whole sermon on "Used to Be." I don't know if y'all could handle that sermon. It was a whole sermon on "Used to Be." And I talked about how I used to come to church and used to sing in the choir and used to teach Sunday school and used to tithe, and on and on and on it went. And I think I hit everything, every single thing imaginable. But for sure, folks, there is a lot of used to Christianity today. And I think we need to just get back to the hard work of digging again the wells that the Philistines have stopped up. Secondly, I want you to notice from this verse, we see the stopping of the wells. That's what verse 18 says. It says that the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Now, how do you stop a well? Well, you fill it in. You throw a bunch of junk into it. You throw the trash into it so that it can't be used. And so the Philistines came along and they stopped the wells that Abraham had dug. You see, folks, there are always those Philistines who would stop up our wells. I mean, there's always going to be the Philistines. Modern day Philistines are working night and day to stop up the wells of the gospel. They endlessly strive to stop the wells of truth and of righteousness. With the dirt and the trash of modernism, they try to stop up our wells. We use the word fundamentalist. We say we are fundamentalists to describe our position on the doctrines of the Bible. We say we believe in the fundamentals of Scripture, and the worst Philistine in the world is that Philistine who denies the fundamentals of the Christian faith. The fundamentals are what make Christianity work. They're what make the Bible and the gospel work. For example, the virgin birth, that's a fundamental. You cannot take or leave the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You take the virgin birth out of the Bible and the whole thing collapses. That means if Jesus was not virgin born, then he was a sinner just like you and just like me. And therefore, we don't have a sinless substitute who died for us. We have a need of a Savior, because our Savior would have been born with a sin nature like ours. So the virgin birth is a fundamental. The blood atonement, that's a fundamental. You listen, folks, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The deity of Christ, that's a fundamental. And all of these translations of the Bible these English perversions of the Bible, all over 400 and some of them, the critical texts, every one of them attacked the doctrine of the deity of Christ. Every single one of them. They came after that doctrine. Why? Because the devil knows that that's a fundamental. And so the Philistines took it out of the Bible. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, that's a fundamental. The sinless life of Christ, that's a fundamental. The fact that all men are sinners and all sinners need a perfect Savior. These things are fundamental to what we believe. You take them out of the Bible, you are therefore removing what makes the Bible work. I've used this illustration on you before, but it's the best way to see it and understand it. My car has some fundamentals on it. So does yours. One fundamental is our spark plugs, right? Yeah, your car, it has to have, unless you have an electric car. If you have an electric car, let me give you a fundamental. It's called the battery. All right? Your car has fundamentals on it. Now, you take those fundamentals off of that car. You take the spark plugs out of my car. My car's a gasoline car. And you take the spark plugs out of my car, you can go out there and you're not going to go anywhere. You've got a heavy four-door skateboard. That's all you got. All right? But there are some things on my car that are not fundamentals. All right? Like the heated seats. I love heated seats. Man, I think they're great. Whoever invented that, I'm all for it. I think they're wonderful. But if the heated seats broke, I had a car back several years ago when I first came here, I bought it with heated seats, but one of the heated seats didn't work. Guess which one? Mine. But the car still ran. You see, the heated seats were not fundamentals. And so my car has a satellite radio and a navigation system, which I love. But if you removed that, the car would still run. Those things are not fundamentals which make the car operate. And folks, there are fundamentals in this Bible right here, and those fundamentals are what make the Bible work. You cannot take them out. You cannot say, oh, well, I just don't believe that. No, it doesn't work that way. You've got to believe those fundamentals. The modern day Philistines, they're busy today. Don't think for a minute that the modern day Philistines aren't still working overtime to stop our wells. They stop the wells of holiness by their filthy pornography that is everywhere you look. They stop the wells of holiness by that garbage that they send into your living room and your den called network television. They don't, and they never stop. Let me tell you something, moms and dads, while I'm here, you better make sure that you are carefully, regularly monitoring what your children are looking at on their devices. Now, you better check on that and don't just take for granted that your little darlings are going to behave themselves. You see, the modern day Philistines would like nothing more than to get your children addicted to that filth. Guard your children, parents. Don't foolishly say, oh, my child would never do anything like that. Don't be so naive. The Philistines will stop up the well of holiness if you turn your back for even a minute. They'll stop up the wells in our churches to prevent the water of life from going out to lost souls. They've already been doing it for a long, long time. I remember when I was a kid in the Methodist church, And the reverend announced that he was leaving. And personally, I thought that was a good idea. He was dry as cracker juice. Oh, it was awful. And I thought that was a good idea. And he said, now next week your new pastor will be here. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out a piece of paper and said, Reverend Pat somebody. Well, we all thought Pat was a Patrick. But we showed up on Sunday and Pat was a Patricia. And I remember my grandfather looking over and said, well, I'm done with this. And we all got up and walked out. Never went back. You see, they've been trying to stop up the wells for a long, long time in our churches. Why? So that the gospel doesn't get out, so that the water of life is not flowing. How do they do this? I'll tell you how they do it. One way is they get you offended. They get you offended. Oh, it doesn't take anything to offend folks today. Have you noticed that? I can offend you without even trying to offend you. It's amazing. But that's our society today. I had a preacher call me yesterday, and I said, how you doing? He said, I'm miserable. I said, why are you miserable? He said, my whole church is offended. I said, well, welcome to the club, man. I'm president of that club. He said, well, how in the world? He said, all I did was just preach a message on salvation. Yep, that's all it takes. You offend half the crowd just telling the truth about the gospel. I mean, folks are so touchy today, so defensive today, and they think everybody's out to get them. I'm amazed at the number of people who get mad and leave, and then I come to find out that they got mad over something they thought I said. And I have gone back on the internet, dug up the sermon, got my notes out, listened to the sermon with my notes, and I never said what they said I said. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. They were looking for something, and they found it. I mean, it gets back to me, and so I check on it and find out, and I never said that. So be careful, Christian. Be careful of the Philistines who would seek to fill in the wells that were dug years ago by our forefathers. Then thirdly, look at the last part of the verse. It says, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So the third thing we see is the naming of the wells. The last part of this verse, he called them after the names by which his father called them. You see, Abraham had many years before named those wells, and then Isaac came along years later, and he revived those same names. Now, there's a great lesson here, folks. A great lesson. I want you to listen very carefully to the rest of my sermon. We should be very careful, listen to me now, about calling matters by the same terminology that was used by our forefathers. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, listen, the modern day Philistines don't want us calling sin by its right names. Let me give you an example or two. Listen very carefully here. Think, if you are against abortion, all right, you're against abortion. You are labeled by the world as pro-life. Nod your head. You with me on that? That's right, isn't it? But now, wait a minute. Think about this. If you are for abortion and you believe that it is perfectly fine to kill a baby in the womb, you are not labeled pro-murder. Now, doesn't it stand to reason that that's what you should be identified as? Because that's what they're doing. Folks, we have technology today that allows a camera to see what an abortion does to a fetus, to a baby. We have the technology today, and there are a number of people across this country who, because of that technology, witnessed with their own eyes, and they got out of the business and realized what they were doing. They were taking human life, and they got out of the business. But you don't call those folks pro-murder. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, even though that is what they are okay with, ending a living human being in the womb. But they won't call them pro-murder. Instead, they call them pro-choice. You see, we need to call it what it is. I mean, this was named by God a long time ago. And God says, when you take a human life, that's murder. But no, 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 we got to change it, see? We got to soften it. We got to make it okay. You see how this works? This is how it works. They want us, they don't want us calling sin what it is, but they wish to change the names so that sin does not appear sinful. Let me give you another one to consider. All right, let's do this. Go over in your Bible to the book of Leviticus, chapter 18. Leviticus, chapter 18. All right, look at Leviticus 18. Look at verse 22. All right, now, let me just hold this up right here. Y'all see what that says right there? Can you see that far? You pretty well know what it says, don't you? Look at the back of yours. What's it say? Holy Bible. All right, just so you know, I didn't write this, okay? Look at verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Now let's all read those last three words. It is abomination. It is. Not it might be. No, it is. It is abomination. Now listen. God says that homosexuality is an abomination. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't write this. God wrote it. But listen, homosexuality is an abominable lifestyle, not an alternative lifestyle. Abominable. Alternate. They both start with the same letter. But that's how the world would have you think of it. And think that it's just an alternate lifestyle. Nah, they're just a little different from us. No, it's abomination. It's sin. Now, I know that the media and Hollywood and the politicians have pounded this issue, and we are bombarded with it at every single turn. The LBGT, LMNOPQR, all the rest of them, crowd has so conditioned our society through the public school and through the universities and through movies and through television to where it is seen in our society as an acceptable alternative lifestyle to traditional marriage. God says abominable. The world says alternative. I'm going to stick with what God has to say about it. Let me give you another one. Our politicians said to us about 10 years ago, let's approve as a state gambling casinos. And we will see our schools improve. Wink, wink, wink. But that's what they said. And we will see our roads improve. So the people of Maryland voted for it. I didn't vote for it. And folks, I submit to you that it has not helped our state. I submit to you it has harmed our state. I mean, 10 years later, the schools in Baltimore are some of the worst in the country. In the country. I mean, they don't make, listen to me, folks, those one-armed bandits, you know, and people go in there and get in the trance and all they do is this all day. Just sit there and throw money in that machine. Listen to me. Listen. Use your head. Those machines are not programmed to let you win. They are programmed to take your money. And that's what they do. I mean, it's just that simple. They are built to take your hard-earned money away from you, not give you more. Let me give you another one. This is the problem that I have with political correctness. It just irks on me. But this is the problem I have with it. The PC culture that the progressives have shoved down our throats is ruining this country. And I want you folks to understand this. Politically correct terminology is not holy terminology. And the Bible says that our conversation is to be holy. Political correct terminology is not holy. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean that the PC crowd has successfully taken Christ out of Christmas. They've done it. You go to the stores around here and at Christmas time and you buy some gifts and they will look at you and say, well, happy holidays. And I always go, Merry Christmas. Look them dead in the eye. Merry Christmas. And if they don't look up, I say it again. Don't take Christ out of Christmas. He's what Christmas is all about. But the world, they don't like that. You see, the old names of these wells were truthful. They were not deceitful. They were truthful. And the modern day Philistines would like to remove Christ from everything. So Christmas now is changed to the winter holidays. Easter is the spring holiday. And the winter, Christmas is winter solstice. Oh my goodness. Merry Christmas changed to happy holidays. They got to get Jesus out of Christmas. Well, we aren't going to do that around here. And I don't think there is a thing wrong with the names of the old wells. So I say we act like Isaac and clean the wells out and call the wells by the same names that our forefathers used. Amen. Folks, there are a lot of wells that were dug by our forefathers. And I want to make sure that we keep those wells flowing with refreshing, delightful water. Don't let the Philistines stop up the wells of your life.